It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're in the place where mysteries and the missing meet. Where conspiracies lurk around every corner. Welcome to the Deep Dark Truth.
Welcome back to the Deep Dark Truth. I'm Mikey.
And I'm Mo. And Chip is out sick.
Get better, buddy. This will be the first mini episode of an ongoing series that we will do in October around spooky season. We shall call it the Blood Series.
So spooky, so seen. I love it.
From medicine and science to the occult and mysticism, from cryptids to humans, and from true crime to conspiracy, blood has long been studied, worshipped, spilled, and even drank. It has been surrounded by mysterious and controversial topics over centuries and across the globe. So let's dive in with these first bizarre stories. First up, we'll be talking about Hungarian noblewoman Elizabeth Bathory. You may know her as the Blood Countess, or even as Countess Dracula, or perhaps, like me until now, you only knew of her lore. I first stumbled upon it while playing the MMORPG Diablo 2, when I had to kill a boss named the Countess. It was clear that Diablo mirrored this character after real-life serial killer Elizabeth Bathory. The lore was that she was a massive serial killer who had very strange motives that were fueled by, well, blood.
I'm really excited about this because I always wanted for us to cover Elizabeth Bathory. There is not very many female renowned killers or serial killers, and it's really weird to get excited about that, but equally, the psychological component is
correct,
intriguing, and you just kind of got to wonder what the hell is wrong with them.
So let's get some more background information. So Elizabeth Bathory was born in 1560 into a noble Protestant family, the Bathorys, who owned land in the Kingdom of Hungary. At a young age, she suffered from multiple seizures that may have been caused by epilepsy. At 15, she'd get married to Ferenc Nadasti. Elizabeth had given birth to a child with a low-order man before she was married to him, however. The husband would have the man castrated and then torn to pieces and fed to dogs.
Jesus.
I know.
Fuck.
Right?
We can never just have nice things on this show. I realize our show is not really about nice things, but man.
It's that sad, sad, tragic story like love is love is love, but it's forbidden. Whether it's some type of culturally thing, or if it's a rank, or if it's society, or if it's a color, a race, a credence. I don't know. It's crazy.
Also, I'm pinning it in my mind, the seizure epilepsy thing, because I don't think I've ever actually heard that. Like, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting when I stumbled across it.
That makes me question a possible brain trauma that could have happened as a result of these seizures.
Totally. I was shocked when I read about it as well. I did not know that. So 4,500 people attended their wedding, and they would be married for 29 years before he passed away. They had four children together. However, she ran the estate and would take on many various lovers throughout the course of time.
Interesting that we know about them.
Yeah.
Which means that there has to be some kind of firsthand sources or written accounts or like her own diaries. And rule number one is do not get caught, especially in this period of time.
Yeah.
But I guess being a noblewoman does give you some type of shield.
Yes. Yes. And that seems to be a common thread across like researching this topic and talking about it, is that would come up even during that time period. It was very like wrong for lower class people to accuse or question or even talk about or whisper about noble people doing things like that. I mean, the guy fed a guy to dogs after castrating him. So they don't forgive lightly in this time era. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they can kind of get away with anything if you have enough prestige and power and money.
So her father, Baron George Bathory, was also the brother of the Viviode of Transylvania, Andrew Bonaventura Bathory. That is not, but you'll see that there's some intermingling in the family to keep the power and noble bloodline. Very Slytherin-esque.
Very, very 1500s, any kind of monarchy or caste system of any sort. Mm-hmm. Talk shit about Slytherin again.
Right. You know, it says it in the name. We can go over it so many times, but we're the brightest and the best, head and shoulders above the rest.
Stop trying to make Ravenclaw happen. It's not going to happen.
I don't need to make Ravenclaw happen. It already happened. It's still happening. Anywho, yes, I looked up Voivode, which means a great war chief or like a military leader at that time, or sort of like a captain of the army kind of thing, but way before that time. Her mother was Baroness Anna Bathory, daughter of another different Voivode of Transylvania. She was also the niece of Stephen Bathory, the King of Poland, and the Grand Duke of Lithuania, and the Prince of Transylvania.
Jesus, you are not lying about the intermingling.
It's like insane. As you can see, she was born very prominently in full wealth and regalia and everything. So when did she turn into like a serial killer, right?
Right.
That's kind of like the timeline we want to get to. Well, her husband died in 1604. And not too long after that, rumors started to spread. It just seems like there was nothing before. And then time of death, boom, rumors, you know? She initially went after young servant girls, age 10 to 14, and that's where she started. And while they had been reported before, they were never really followed upon. Again, we're shocked, right?
Shocker! Yeah.
1609 was when killings of noble women started to get attention. Between 1610 and 1611, Georgi Thurzo, appointed by King Matthias, would collect depositions from over 300 witnesses of survivors. The most bizarre part of this is not just that there were 300 witnesses or survivors all claiming she was a murderer, but the guy that was investigating her was her cousin, her first cousin.
With all of the different noble ties, throw a rock at somebody that in a position of power and have them not be, right?
Yeah, like, she had Transylvania, Poland, and Hungary all at, like, the tip of her finger, basically.
The only thing that's surprising is that her cousin still chose to actually investigate her, but
he was ordered by the king.
Yeah, we're talking about him being ordered by the king. We're talking about there being over 300 witnesses or survivors.
Yeah.
You can't really turn away a whole bunch of firsthand accounts of this woman tried to kill me without being ousted from your position of power, which nobody wants.
Right.
Like, he's not going to take the fall for his cousin if it's going to get him ousted.
And nobles may have power, but a king is a king.
So for the witnesses, who were these witnesses or like some of these survivors?
They ranged from 10 to like 19, even in the young 20s. And it started to turn into nobility because she would build this part of her estate where she would give class etiquette, class type things at her estate. And then some would disappear. Some would never come back. Some would come back, but completely traumatized.
Were these classes mostly young women of nobility? Like she was entrusted with them by their parents?
Or in just lower classes below that so that they could get to nobility status. So they could be in the same areas and locations as nobility and maybe move up the chain a little bit and the, you know, kind of.
It might be somewhere in some sort of peerage. That's kind of what I'm viewing. And like they could potentially later come out and marry higher above their own social status if their parents had enough money, influence, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So some of the testimonies were by parents of the servant girls who would be offered the work in the castle as a servant and never come back. That's how it kind of started. And then she started dabbling into the upper class, you know, because she is just picking them off. Basically, at that point, 300 testimonies. That could be 100 people. It could be 600 people. It could be 1,000 people, right?
Yeah, that's just insanity.
Even two court officials claim that they personally witnessed Elizabeth torturing and killing young servant girls.
How absolutely ballsy.
And this was in the beginning part when she was preying on servant girls. So they didn't come forward.
I understand that growing up in that, you have to feel like you're very sheltered from any possible consequences. But when we start getting into like court officials are around, you're preying on young women of the period. Even though she is a countess, there's still people above her. She might not have preyed necessarily on those people's children or like her cousin's children and all of these other different things, but she's not at the very top of the food chain.
Well, now you bring up an interesting point. Maybe she started and wanted to do this to weed out some of the other noble and richer houses that I never really thought about, because she could train herself into doing this until she started like, ooh, I don't like that noble family, or I want their wealth. I want it to stay in our family and our lineage and our nobility. Never thought about that.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Could have been a mastermind behind it, you know what I mean? So there were social advancement or etiquette classes at what was called a gymnasium. So gymnasium. And some would never return. So why the blood? Why is the lore of the blood? Well, her lore would prove that she would torture, drain them of their blood, and murder these young women. She believed in draining virgins of their blood and not only drinking it, but also bathing in it in order to escape the ravages of time and remain youthful.
Oh, so she's the Sanderson sister.
Kind of. But there are some, you know, historians and others that believe that this was kind of taken out of context and over time has become a ball of thread that just keeps growing and growing and growing, if you will. And it's over-exaggerated.
It's hard to tell if things were added to the lore just because they wanted them to have a rhyme or reason versus she just committed all of these murders and did all of these crimes. And it's a horrific even to us now. So imagine how horrific it was 500 years ago.
Yeah. So this is where it's going to get dicey. So if you're not faint of heart and into that, then I would just stop listening for a little bit.
Yeah. Future Mo, graphic content warning at the front of this episode.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. We need to. So reports of these testimonies from survivors and witnesses listed many forms of torture, including freezing them to death by pouring buckets of ice water over them and leaving them outside, starving them to death, mutilating them with knives, burning them with hot irons, sewing their lips shut, and oddly enough, biting their lips, breasts, faces, and fingers off. Reports by servants was that she fancied scissors, and that was her biggest, like, fetish. And this is all coming out of the woodwork after one person, her cousin, decides to start investigating and asking people questions. And they all come out at the same time.
Yeah, because they were fucking terrified. And then they're like, oh, wait, maybe if this is being investigated, somebody will do something about this.
Yeah. She would use scissors mostly and would cut off their nose, their genitals, and really enjoyed slicing the skin between their fingers. I know.
I couldn't help but literally hold up my hand and touch it between my fingers.
Yeah.
I could not help it.
I knew it was coming. It's
horrific.
Still, I still hate it. I still hate it. Ugh.
I do realize that in comparison, the other thing should be horrific, but that is the one that gives me a visceral reaction.
Yeah, that was one of the most common ones that was in the mass amount of witnesses reporting. So
horrifying.
Many of these reports of vampiric tendencies were, you know, after her death. And like I said, you know, some modern historians condemn them as unreliable or exacerbated. But I don't like their unreliable reasoning. And I'm not even going to mention it. Just stupid.
Like condemning the witnesses as being unreliable, like a hysteria type of thing. Like they were lying.
It was kind of them believing women at this time were just incapable of such like madness or torture or like murderistic, like, you know what I mean?
That is a theme that happened well up into the 1900s, truly.
But I, you know, I gotta mention it, you know.
Of course. I'm horrified at the idea that people finally started to come forward and then it was like, oh, well, I'm not seeing you as reliable. Also, again, I just cannot, out of all of those things, I'm really feeling like there's some mad hocus pocus has taken things from this, especially with the sewing their lips shut.
Mm-hmm.
It feels so extra.
Yes.
The torture aspects, especially for a woman, especially for a woman in this time period.
Yeah.
I just have a lot of questions as to how she got here, especially since, at least so far, I don't know what you're going to tell me, but so far, we're not hearing any of the telltale serial killer signs. You know, she had somebody die in front of her when she was really young, or she tortured animals, or, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So far, the only thing that has stood out to me in terms of how did you possibly get this way, you are the privileged upper echelon of society, is these seizures. But equally, I don't want to try and explain away all the horrible things she did with, oh, she probably had some form of brain trauma either, because lots of people have brain trauma and never kill anyone.
Right.
And also, we don't know that that's true, especially this many years after the fact, where you start questioning, okay, how can we try and make sense of that? And the truth is, maybe there is nothing to make sense of.
Whether she, you know, practiced bloodletting, drinking, or bathing in blood, evidential proof of the torture and murder were found. And that seems to be a common thread. That whether this was exacerbated by the amount of people or how she did it or when it started or how it became or what torture she did, what vampiric things she got into, there was evidential proof of torture and murder.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On December 30th, 1609, she was arrested. Multiple survivors and multiple dead were found in her gymnasium upon her arrest. They arrested her, searched the grounds, found multiple survivors and dead parts and bodies everywhere. Three of her servants were put on trial in 1611, 2 years later, for 80 counts of murder.
For helping her?
I read sometimes that the servers pled guilty. I've read in other places that they were just found guilty.
Well, first of all, even if they did plead guilty, they're servants under her control to some extent. But then, if knowing that she's a countess and that she's just murdering people left, right, and center,
you get in line.
Yeah, anything that they are doing to help her is severe, crazy coercion, cannot express. Yeah. So I'm nauseated by that. I very highly doubt that in this period of time, a woman found three other women that just so happened to work for her that were really into killing and murdering and torturing people.
Servants in this time didn't have a choice. They ate when they were told to eat, you know, they slept when they were told to sleep. They had no personal time whatsoever. They were lowest of lows and they did whatever they asked them to.
Yeah. And as far as the argument being made of, well, why didn't they just run away? Well, because their families could be killed by this woman of extreme power.
Or chased down easily. So they would be executed for accomplice to murder. Bathory herself avoided execution.
Wow.
As much as King Matthias had wished it, her cousin would convince the king not to. So her first cousin is the one who convinced the king not to execute her, apparently. A trial and execution of such public scandal would have disgraced such a prominent family that ruled Transylvania. So his argument was that she should be locked up. And so the king locked her up in a castle in Upper Hungary until her death at 54. So she avoided being executed, even though her servants got executed. And it makes my blood boil.
Because it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't understand how her cousin managed to convince the king not to.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how much influence her cousin had at the time. Also, just 1609, like, A Winter's Tale is running. Shakespeare, Galileo Galilei has just demonstrated his first telescope to Venetian officials. Crazy putting this period of time into context of any sort.
It's hard. It's hard.
And then the fact that she just gets locked away like Rapunzel. It's not even like a Man in the Iron Mask situation. Infuriating.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. So we also kind of look at a different perspective now. You ready for this? plot twist. No,
oh,
we gotta balance we gotta balance the scales.
Okay.
So some modern historians and other theories believe that these accusations and testimonies were much part of a much larger conspiracy.
Which was what? To oust the family from power?
To gain her wealth and land. And the big pointer to this whole thing is that it didn't start until her husband died. And in that time period, it was not uncommon to accuse a wealthy person, let alone a widow, to murder or witchcraft or sexual misconduct to seize their possessions and their land and their wealth.
And you know what? I can see that. I can buy into that conspiracy theory, but having 80 counts of murder against you and 300 different witness and or survivor statements, I understand that there's people of power, especially in when it comes to getting servants and things to go against her. But some of these families were higher up families.
Yeah. And that's when it started. Doesn't it piss you off that it only started paying attention when it started hitting the wealthy?
It really does. But it also makes me wonder when her husband was alive, if no one was really paying attention to her because she was her husband's problem. And so nobody paid attention to anything that she was possibly doing or were even more fearful at the time to accuse anyone of anything because of the husband still being alive. So her being seen as even stronger than she was just from her position because she had that extra layer of protection.
Yep, correct. Some believe a group of like very powerful men or family or nobility or line or someone had something to do with and fabricated and orchestrated this whole entire rue to seize her wealth and her possessions because of her widow status. That's a huge thing that they focus on, but also because she was believed to support her nephew, a ruler of Transylvania who is a rival to the King of Hungary.
Oh.
And because she was so intertwined with the Poland like family and Hungary family and Transylvania family, like one of those aspects became a political time period of high aggression. And then not having the protection of her husband.
I want to know who inherited her money. I want to know if her cousin specifically was the one that inherited some of that money that was prosecuting her. And I also want to know if maybe if it is that she was kind of set up by King Matthias, that maybe her cousin is getting pressure to go after her from the king. Obviously, we know that. But I mean, like, pressure, like, to lie about it.
Right.
And who had what over who? Like, who had knowledge, who had money, who had power over who? Is it, you're going to go after your cousin or I'm going to make you disappear? Mm-hmm. Is it, I'm going to help you go after my cousin because then I'll be inheriting her money and so I have my own motive?
Right. There's even another twist. Some historians and some conspiracy theorists believe that the king who owed a huge debt to her husband, which is a proven known thing. The king was actually financially in debt to her husband or had borrowed money at some point. And even more to her separately, upon his death, which would be a time of payment, he could not pay. And he might have arranged this entire thing and had many players involved. So it's quite interesting. But having the proof, and it's a feat to pull off something like that, right?
It really is, but if it is a feat for someone, it's a feat for a king.
Because he could have had so many noble houses, and even, why did it suddenly search to nobles? So, because he knew he had influence over the nobles more potently to where he could ask them for favors, or... You're right. Where did her wealth go?
While I am saying, like, if it is a feat for someone, it's a feat for a king, it's still really hard for me to believe that someone wouldn't talk. But on the flip side, it's hard to believe that people stayed silent for so long, even if they were in the serving class, because if you're a mother and your child is taken and you believe your child to be killed or your child is almost killed, I feel like that is the hardest person in the world to actually shut up. No matter what you threaten them with, a mother that has just lost her child is the person that does not give a shit and is going to be as loud as possible.
Totally. Torture and murder and witnessing it and stuff is really hard to keep secret, isn't it?
Yeah.
But also, she could have delicately started very gradually, like kind of how I read it,
yeah.
You know, over a span of 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, no one's going to question if a countess says, oh, I don't know where that servant girl went. I think she wandered off with a neighborhood village boy. Like, oh, I think she ran away. Who knows what happened to her? Or scolded her for her manners and she couldn't handle it and she left and I don't know what happened to her. Not very many people are gonna tell a countess, oh no, I think maybe you ate her or have her locked up in the basement torturing her, etc., etc. Nobody would have ever thought that that was a possibility to begin with.
So, I mean, 1611 is when they went on trial. And it was about 6 years ongoing that she dodged the law because of her power and wealth. The investigation started in 1605. So, interestingly enough, in ending, she is the most prolific female murderer of the Western world and cited as such in the Guinness Book of World Records. The precise number of her victims is up for much debate. However, upon his final report, Thurzo, from collecting testimonies and through investigation, claims over 600. The highest number cited was 650 by a servant girl who swore that she'd seen it in one of Bathory's private books. This book has never came to light.
I don't think that book exists. I would hope that she would not be dumb enough to write them down.
How much of this is the story that we lose over time and we're missing bits and pieces that are huge? And then how much of it, I don't know, that's a lot to fabricate. It's a lot to fabricate.
Well, especially with the witness testimonies, that would be a lot to fabricate. I do have questions about what amount of bloodletting, drinking, or bathing in blood, how much of that is true and how much of it is the mythos that starts to surround her. Because if you can kill that many people and torture people, especially with how unheard of it is at the time, it's going to become something even bigger than what it is. I feel like no matter what, especially because these people are getting a lot of the news by word of mouth.
Yep.
That game of telephone could very quickly become she was bathing in the blood of her victims.
Well, in my theory about the number is that it is about 80. And I think the 80 counts of murder says a lot to me when I was reading it, because I think it's the amount of girls or young women who were missing or presumed dead.
And there was actually some kind of link from them to her.
Right. And the testimonies and everything that was going on turned into a giant Salem witch trial, to where people were offering testimonies and witnessing when they really didn't. And that's how you got stories about certain means of torture or whatever, like this, you know, full-blown thing. Do I think she was a serial killer? I do. But I think she killed about 80. And I think it was probably because she could and she had severe trauma in some way, shape, or form. Heavy inbreeding like that, there's a lot that can go on in that time period. I mean, I just don't think she was battling a lot of mental issues.
You're not wrong. It's feeling a little Joffrey.
Yeah, totally. But I think it was over-exaggerated and the 600 numbers is getting... I think she was very smart, though, too. I really do. I think she was kind of a mastermind.
Yeah, I think that they probably would have charged her for 600 murders if they had any way to prove those 600.
Right.
And even those 80, some of those could have been circumstantial, like, oh, well, because we know she killed 10 people, anybody who we possibly can link to her at some point in time that has went missing at any point in time, we're going to charge her with. I don't think I've ever heard any of the conspiracy theory elements before about her possibly being set up or that that was even possible.
If Chip was here, I think that's the route he would take.
Yeah.
I 100% think he'd be like, the king is the villain. He orchestrated the whole thing. He couldn't pay them. Bad guy, villain. And I want to go that route, but that is just, it plays dead bodies and body parts and...
Yeah, it seems too much. He could have heard a single whisper or two and went about investigating her and making sure that she was investigated because of that money. But that doesn't mean she didn't do it.
Right,
you know what I mean? It just means he was going after someone or having somebody investigated that he otherwise would not have had investigated because of where she was in this nobility.
And let's not forget, the only real, like, true stuff that we have to go off on is that there was dead bodies and survivors. If that was placed, it's fucked up and it's a lot of work. I just don't know how that would be possible. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It seems far off.
I understand. Yeah. There's too much actual physical evidence to just throw the conspiracy theory at the wall and be like, oh, well, that makes sense. It does make sense.
It does.
But it doesn't make sense with everything.
With everything, correct. You have to look at the true facts, too. But, you know, at this time, I didn't even really hold weight to the accusations and testimonies very much because they weren't, like, used with such viction in a court of law like we do now. Like, you know, could be hearsay, could be blown out of proportion, could be exaggerated, could be lying.
It's like, we'll take a statement from anyone based on anything that you've heard about the situation.
Correct.
Not
correct.
You had to have personally experienced something that you're giving a witness statement about. The butcher told me...
Right.
XYZ. I have heard this.
Or people just grossly exaggerate things, and over time it becomes a telephone thing. I heard she drank the blood of her victims. I heard she bathed in them. So I don't know that I hold that much water, but it's the bodies for me.
It definitely, Elizabeth Bathory, just talking about her, evokes this certain sense of dread, no matter if everything said about her is true or not.
Right.
The brutality of the actual bodies, the actual physical evidence, the people that actually did experience it. I mean, it would be horrific now if we heard somebody was charged with 80 counts of murder and they tortured their victims. We would say, how the hell did they get away with this for so long? How did this set of circumstances come about? Mm-hmm. How come she wasn't caught sooner? What can we do to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again?
Right.
Well, I think that was a good kickoff to the first
part
of the Blood series. I'm really excited we got to cover her, and I'm really excited I got to hear all these new angles in which I haven't heard before.
It was quite interesting going down the rabbit hole. I really do want to know, though, where her wealth went to.
Yeah.
When they confined her, like, who took possession of her estate and her money. But I did find out, interestingly enough, that she's also cited as one of the richest criminals in history.
Now that I'm thinking about it, like Robert Durst, John DuPont, there is a lot of killers and serial killers that actually were really wealthy. The Menendez brothers.
Her net worth in 2020 would be $1 to $5 million.
Okay, so still very rich.
Very rich.
Maybe not quite as rich as you would assume that wealth would translate to.
It's quite interesting. And some of the some of the modern day historians and conspiracy theorists 100% believe it was all set up in hearsay. If you take the bodies out of the equation, it could go the opposite direction.
I really would like to see two historians duke it out over this and kind of see where their train of thought is and how they kind of explain away the other's viewpoints to the story, because I just don't know how you would explain away the bodies and the actual people that they confirmed having died, unless they killed people and framed her, and or dug up bodies from like a local graveyard and framed her.
You never know.
You never know. Until next time, I'm Mo.
Oh, and I'm Mikey.
Bye. Insert sarcastic comment from Chip.
You just listened to the Deep Dark Truth Podcast. See you next time. And remember, your local cryptids want to meet you.